Okay, here we go. And you could turn to Ephesians. And you know, one of the reasons that I got so involved in the Word was for the first time when I heard it taught years ago by Dr. Werwell and actually other people, and they showed me and they said, here's what the Word says, and I couldn't argue with some of the things they showed me, which didn't necessarily line up with what I had been taught as a child. And one of the things that we should always be aware of is that we are concerned with and care about the integrity of the Word. And I endeavor my best to keep it simple. Lots of times people try to get, you know, real complicated with it, and you know, it's not complicated, really. And if you get complicated in it, contradict something that we know simply in the Word is true, it's usually wrong. Because if you think about it, God wants us to understand His Word, doesn't He? Yeah. So why would He make it complicated or difficult? He wouldn't. But as you study the Word and you dig into it, you know, the simplicity and the beauty of the truth becomes more magnificent as you see the details. It's kind of like looking at a flower and you see a rose or, you know, any flower. And then you magnify it and you see some of the details. It becomes more and more beautiful, doesn't it? It's not that it's any less beautiful, and it's not that it's any less beautiful in its simplicity, but you see the detail to it and the intricacies in it. It's not that it's, you know, real complicated. It's just beautiful. Okay, so in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start. And I started studying this section, and it's just a great section. And verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And the word "finally" means in summation. And in summation is summing up or making a statement in light of, henceforth, could be another way it's translated, all that has been said in Ephesians previous to this. So in the first three chapters, it tells us about how much God has loved us, what He's done for us in Christ Jesus, who we are, what we are. And then in chapter 4 and on, it tells us how we are to walk worthy of the Lord and all that we can do and all that we are supposed to do. And then it says, finally, in summation to all that, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And the Lord here refers to Jesus Christ. Pretty great. And then it says, and the power of His might. And that's an interesting word because it's two words, kratos and ischus. And they are synonymous. You could say, in the might of His might, or the power of His power, or you could say His mighty power. Okay? And we're going to look at some places. This is the same phrase is used in chapter 1. But it could also be translated the strength of His ability. So let's look at, hold your place in chapter 6 and go back to chapter 1 in verse 19. And this is part of a prayer, which starts in chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, make mention of you in your prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. This is a prayer that God would bestow upon us certain things. The eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Mighty power is the strength of His ability, or His mighty might, or as powerful power. That's what it is. It's Iskos and Kratos. So let's go back to chapter 6. So what it's saying here is, this is in reference to the ability to prevail. We have the ability to prevail because of the ability of Jesus Christ to prevail, who had from his Father the ability to prevail. Because God always has the ability to prevail. And Jesus Christ obeyed his Father, and he believed God, and so he had the ability to prevail. And when we listen to God and we believe, we have the ability to prevail in any situation. So here it's saying, because of all that you've learned and all that you see that God has done for you through Jesus Christ, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that means, that excludes the power of our might, doesn't it? It's not our ability that we're going to prevail in, but it's the ability and the power of God which is going to make us prevail. Pretty great. So how are we to be strong? Well, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And, you know, when it says put on, that is the same word that means to be clothed. It's endued, enduo. Remember in Luke it says, well, we're going to read it later, but it says to be endued from with power from on high. That meant to be clothed with. So we are to be clothed with the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God is pretty cool because the word armor is the word panoplia, P-A-N-O-P-L-I-A, which means in the Greek literature, in the Greek language, it means to be completely equipped as heavily armed infantry. And they would cover their infantry from head to toe with armor, and they would have their spear and their shield and their sword. And so they would be completely equipped. It's kind of similar to that thing, you know, when we learn about Artios, a ship outfitted. Well, here, this army means to be completely defended or protected. We have a word in English, you may have or may not have heard of it, called a panoply. And a panoply means a total and complete defense or protection against something. And it comes from the Greek word panoplia, which means that complete equipment or total armor to protect the infantryman or the soldier. Pretty great. So we have panoply in English, which is the complete defense. So we are to clothe ourselves with the panoplia of God, the total armor of God. I want you to go to chapter 4. Hold your place here, or we're going to come back eventually. But we're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 22. And it says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now chapter 4 is where we start with. In verse 1 it says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then it goes through some other stuff, but it's all having to do with how we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. And one of the things we are to do to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called are we are to put off the old man. And that word put off is the negative form of the word put on. It's the negative prefix to enduo, or to be endued. It's an anti or anti-something or other. So we're to put off. It's like take it. If you had dirty clothes, dirty, smelly clothes that you had on all day and you worked hard, you would take them off, right? Because you wouldn't want to be around people dirty and smelly. So that's what it says. Put off. Take off the clothing of the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. And the new man is not just us being born again, but it is the new man is the body of Christ. So certainly we put on that we are born again, that we are God's son, but we put it on in the context of being members of the body of Christ. That's how we put on the new man, because the new man is Jew and Gentile, one body. That's the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we're to put off, you know, like a shirt or clothing, the old man, and we are to put on, like a shirt or clothing, or that armor to be totally clothed with, the new man. Pretty cool. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. You know, I first got in the Word, and these guys were telling me, and say, you have to rightly divide the Word. The Word interprets itself. And I thought, wow, that's impossible. Everybody has an opinion. Well, yeah, everybody does have an opinion. And everybody can put in the Word what they want to put in, but that's not what God would have us to do, is it? And when I learned that you were supposed to rightly divide the Word and you were to allow the Word to speak for itself, it took on a whole new meaning, and it took a whole new significance, because God's Word is God's Word. And if we study it according to the keys of how the Word interprets itself, then we see the truth of it, and it becomes more and more brilliant. The closer we look at it, the more we apply those principles, the more we hold those, that Word of God in our mind, the more blessed we become, and the better it is, the more we understand it. So Romans 13, verse 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of darkness is to throw away, throw down. And let us put on, in duo, be clothed with the armor of light. Isn't that great? The armor of light. Again, that word armor is panoplia. It's that complete covering. And what is the armor of light? It's God's the word of word. Yeah, it's God's word. It's what God has given us, how he has communicated to us. Then it says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying. Pretty great. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, can you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not literally true, is it?
Right.
You can't put on his body. You can't get in his skin. But to put it on is in your mind. It is to put on who we are in Christ, to put on what he accomplished for us and what he did for us. That's how we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we put it on just like we put on the armor of light, God's word. You know, we're to put those things on. We're to wear them in our minds. It's pretty great. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, we're going to begin. It says, but now ye also put off all these things. And again, that put off is that negative form of enduo. It's anti-enduo or anti-something. I forget how it's written in Greek, but it's the negative form of that verb with that negative suffix. Now put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Put off again, that same negative form of endued. Just like you take off your old shirt or your dirty clothes and have put on, endued, the new man. Just like it said in Ephesians chapter 4. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Now, put on is in italics there, isn't it? But it's implied. It's an ellipsis. It was figurative. So it really emphasizes the put on, to be clothed with. And so it says here, and above all these things that we put on the love of God. Yeah. Charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Isn't that great? We're to put on those things. We're to put them on. That's what makes us strong in the Lord. When we put on, when we're clothed with that armor, with the light of God's word, with all that Jesus Christ did for us and who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, if you're really convinced of who you are in Christ and somebody says, well, you're a dirtbag, what do you care what they say? God says otherwise, doesn't he? Pretty great. Let's go to 1 Peter. There was another verse in Thessalonians, but I forget what it was about the putting on the armor. But it's the same thing, put on the armor. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. This is pretty great. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Clothed. We're to put on or be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may that he may exalt you in due time. And you know, that goes back to being strong in the Lord, because when you're humble, you realize that you need God's help in every endeavor of life. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have all the answers. We don't have the ability that we need to really excel in life, but we have God. We have God's word. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we have the strength and the ability. And we are to be totally clothed with that armor. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Maybe should have read this first, but maybe not. Jesus Christ, before he ascended up into heaven, was speaking to the apostles. He said in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Be endued, fully clothed with power, with Holy Spirit. It's pretty great. When you think about these things, and it says to be fully clothed, it has to do with us putting it on. Putting it on in our mind, because spiritually we already are, aren't we? It's all in all. We all have the same amount. You can't get any more righteous than what God made you in Christ Jesus, can you? You can't get any more holy than the holiness you receive when you receive Holy Spirit. You can't get any more ability or power than the power of the Holy Spirit that God has put inside of us. But what we do have to do is we have to put it on. We have to be clothed with those abilities and that which God has given us and promised us. So here, Jesus Christ gave them the key. He said, be endued with power from on high. That was the promise, and that's what they received. And then we read in the epistles how they did it. Now, there are some pretty cool things. I want you to go to Judges 14. And this is the part of Judges that deals with Samson. Remember Samson? Today, the word Samson is synonymous with strength and power, isn't it? You know, there's a luggage company called Samsonite. Remember they used to do a commercial where they put a Samsonite bag in the gorilla's cage and he would slam it and jump on it and he couldn't break it because it was so strong. That's, you know, they got that from the idea that Samson was such a strong guy. Okay, why was Samson strong? Yeah, because of God. It doesn't say anywhere, it doesn't give any physical description of Samson whatsoever in the Word of God. And I bet you, more than anything, that he probably wasn't physically imposing. Because that just would accentuate. But, you know, that's my opinion. I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't tell us anything about how Samson looked or how strong he was or anything else. But it does say this. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 5. It says, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him, which means he tore him, as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told his father or his mother, he told not his father and his mother what he had done. So, a lion comes along, and Samson, with his bare hands, kills the lion. He rips him apart. That's pretty amazing. And how did he do it? The Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, which here the word Lord is Jehovah. And then let's go to verse 19. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave the change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled and he went up to his father's house. What happened here? There was 30 men and he gave them a riddle and they couldn't figure it out, but he was married to this woman and she told them and betrayed him. And so he went out and killed 30 Philistines, which were unbelievers, and took their garments because he promised them changes of garments if they would guess the riddle. And so he gave it to them. Okay, chapter 15, in verse 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands loosed from off his hands. What had happened was the Israelites were afraid of the Philistines. And so they came to Samson and they said, we're going to bind you up and take you to the Philistines because we're in subjection to them. They've conquered us and we have to obey them, and you're doing all this stuff to them and we're going to pay the price for it. And he said, well, I'll let you bind me up as long as you promise not to kill me. So they bound him up, and it says they bound him up with new cords, new twine. So it was new, it was strong. It wasn't old or rotted, it was brand new. And when he came to the Philistines, he burst the cords. He just pulled apart like they had been burned with fire. And then it says in verse 15, he found the new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Took the jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 Philistines by himself. I would get tired. You'd get arm weary. If you ever boxed, I fooled around and boxed a couple of times. And when you're standing there and you're throwing punches and you got those gloves on, you know, they box 3-minute rounds. At the end of 3 minutes, you're exhausted. You can't even lift your arms. It's amazing. And yet he took the jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 men. How did he do it? Yeah, the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. Yeah. We have been endued with power from on high. We have it all the time. It's not just when the power of God comes upon us, but we are to put it on in our minds. We're to renew our minds to that. We are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, to be totally clothed with the panoplia, that complete armor that he's given us. It's not physical strength. It's not mental strength. It's not our ability. It's not moral courage. It's the power of God. And we can be strong in the Lord by renewing our minds and putting on who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ. And by exercising our spiritual abilities, relying on God, looking to God, putting God first. Let's go to Habakkuk. Where the heck is Habakkuk? It's after Amos, I believe. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Habakkuk, something. It's right before Zephaniah.
It's after Mike and Nahum.
Yeah. If you can't find it, you can just listen.
Keep going. Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah,
Nahum. And Habakkuk. Habakkuk's only 3 chapters. So it's like 2 pages or something. Okay, last verse of Habakkuk. What does Habakkuk the prophet say? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. You know, he wasn't strong in anything else. The Lord was his strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk upon my high places. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It says that in a psalm of David. So you go through all the great men of God and all the people that got deliverance from God, and it was where they made God their strength. God was their strength. We are to be strong in the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 27. In one respect, it's the Old Testament is no different from the New Testament. When people believed God and looked to God, God delivered them. The difference is we always have that Spirit of God. We're always well-pleasing in his sight. We are holy and without blame before him. Always. And we always have his Spirit within us. Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And then Psalm 18. This is really a great psalm, but we're going to read the first 3 verses. You know, sometimes we turn to God as a last resort.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe sometimes just because of human nature, that's the way we are. But really, we should turn to him as the first resort. He should be the only resort. He should be the one we go to anytime we have a problem. Now, he may tell us to do other things, like you break your arm and you go to God. And God may say, you need to go to a doctor. And then you need to go to a doctor. But you still should go to God first, shouldn't you?
Yep.
Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And you know, here this is a psalm of David, and You know, in other words, he's investing everything in God. He's putting everything on God. God is his all in all. God is the answer to all his difficulties, all his problems, all his fears, all his weaknesses. Pretty great. Let's go to Romans. And I thought this is pretty interesting here in Romans. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You know, to be without strength, according to God, is to be without God, to be without Christ. God bless you. We were without strength. But once we get Jesus Christ, once we're born again, we're not without strength, are we? We are to be strong in the Lord. But that's what we're to be strong in. You know, if you were, if you had a construction company and you had a bulldozer, God bless you, or a backhoe, and somebody hired you to dig a mile-long ditch, would you break out the shovels? So you have the ability, but you're not strong in the stuff that you have, right? It would be stupid, wouldn't it, to break out the shovels and hire 100 guys to dig it by hand? No, you'd go and get the backhoe, and you'd do it fast and cheaper and better. See, and that's the way Christians are sometimes. We already have the backhoe. We already have the strength. We already have the ability. We already have what we need because we have God and we have Jesus Christ. But we have to be strong in the Lord. So it says here, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We were without strength at one time, but Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Pretty great. And let's go back to Ephesians and we'll read that section totally. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, or in summation, or henceforth, my brethren. And my brethren is not in the Greek texts. It really just says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God to be fully clothed, totally covered with that total protection and defense, that panoplia of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. And you know, you get a picture of a warfare, physical warfare maybe. But you know, the wiles of the devil are the methods by which he distracts us from God, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He distracts us from what God will do for us and how much God loves us. And he tries to trick us out of believing God. That's the wiles of the devil. He tries to get us to compromise on God. So we're to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against darkness, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And you know, that sounds pretty tough. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. But it says in chapter 1 that God set Jesus Christ over all principality and power, doesn't he? And we have Christ in us. So we can be more than conquerors.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yeah, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Wherefore, a second time, take unto you the whole armor of God. So he starts out saying, take on the whole armor of God. That's how we're strong in the Lord. And then he says it a second time. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now, does that mean physically to stand up? No, it means to withstand. It really means to withstand the attacks of the devil, to continue to believe God, to look to God in every situation, regardless of what the attack is. We are to stand up against the devil, against the evil. And then the first word of verse 14 is stand. So it says stand, stand. So what do you think the emphasis there is? Stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And the loins is the midsection of your body. And if you know anything about physical exertion, whether work or sports, the most important thing is your midsection. You know, when you go to the store and people are lifting heavy items, they wear a belt around their midsection, right? That's to protect them from getting hurt and keeping them strong so they're able to do their job. When you're in sports, one of the things that they do in exercise more than anything else is to build up your stomach muscles and your midsection. You can build up other areas, but if you're not strong in your midsection, you're not going to be strong. So it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, or believing wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, if you read through the description, you're covered head to foot. The whole armor. Shoes to helmet. All the way up. You're totally covered with the protection, the spiritual protection of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And how do you pray and supplicate in the Spirit?
Speaking
in tongues. So if you don't think it's important to speak in tongues,
right. Think
again. So we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are to put on the whole armor. We're to be clothed totally and completely with the armor that God has given us. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us. And we thank you for always taking care of us, and that we truly can be strong in the Lord, and that we can work at it day by day, remembering what we are to do to be strong, to take that whole armor that you've made available, to put those promises in our minds, to put what you've stated we are and who we are and what we are in your Son, Christ Jesus, and that we can live those realities day by day. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.